Welcome back to Ignite here with my buddy Steve Amerson and Bill Weiss. And the three of us hang out a little bit. We've just gotten to know each other the last few weeks for right. You. We go back, way back, and always have more fun than we should laughing. And almost always it's about our latest faith-sharing stories. And we keep saying, most people don't know it's fun. It's not nervous time. It's just go time. It's just fun time. But we ended that last segment on hell, which yes. Is not fun, but it should be an igniter for us. We don't want to go there. Nobody has to go there. And God's saying you don't want to go there. And he's doing everything he can to keep us from going there. And yet, strangely enough, the world is choosing against God to go there. I mean, it's crazy, isn't it?
You know, one of my tennis buddies, I play tennis several times a week, and one of my tennis buddies doesn't believe in God. And he's made it clear that he doesn't believe in God. And I've said to him, I said, Jim, you have a lot more faith than I do.
Yeah.
But he said, a couple weeks ago, we're talking about this again. It comes up and he goes, you know, I decided when I was 7 years old that there was no God.
Mm.
And I'm thinking, he's going to allow a decision made by a seven-year-old to determine
his life, the
arc of his life and eternity. But Barry, there are a lot of people that are just, they're afraid to share their faith.
Yeah.
By the way, and we all, I'm sure we know this, the first evangelists were both women. Yes, they saw that the tomb was empty.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
they were the very first.
And they ran.
They ran, and they didn't have any training or any knowledge. They just said,
"He's alive.
He's alive." So Barry, I mean, if someone is afraid, or I mean, what if I don't know the answer?
Oh,
what are they supposed to do, Barry?
That's the most exciting part. That is the most exciting. That's the most exciting part, because no one expects you to be a Bible scholar. Nobody expects you to be the answer to everything. In fact, it probably hurts a little bit if we were the ones that had all the answers. I would think it's a little boring. You know, way better to say, that's a great question. I never thought of that question before. Would you allow me the next few days to pray for you? And search for me. God has the answer. It's in the book. I gotta find the answer. Would you pray for me as I pray for you? And I'll search the scriptures. Let's get back together on Thursday. Could you do that? They always say yes. Of course they're going to say yes. They want to know. What happens between now and Thursday? Does anybody have to tell you to be in the Word? Does anybody have to tell you to pray? No. Every moment at the job, you have a break. You're digging. Everything. And it's like treasure. The scripture I'm telling you search like treasure. And then you find it. And then you find another one.
Yes.
And you find another one. What I do, I print them out. And I print the whole scripture out. I do the whole thing for them. I do that every time. I've been doing that for 50 years. And so when you go back, say, here's the answer. I'm so excited. I'm praising God. I got the answer. I give it to them. And there's Bob sitting in front of me. And I give them a copy and I read through the scriptures. At the end, they're demolished. They're just, it answers every question they had. It's the Word of God. It's not me. It's the Word of God. And he always has the answers. That's the fun part. When you don't have the answer, that's what got me going to begin with. We became really excited. He has the answer. He always has the answer. And sharing his answer with them to answer their questions, whew, What a privilege. I mean, that's real fun.
Mm-hmm. You know, Barry, you said, like, you don't have to have a lot of knowledge, just the zeal.
It's all about zeal.
I led a friend to the Lord, and that next day, this friend went out and witnessed to three of his friends.
Oh, yeah.
And he, brand new Christian, didn't know even a scripture.
He's a new Christian. That's what
brand
new Christians do.
And he led two of the three to the Lord.
But maybe he did it the wrong way.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a second.
He
Stop.
Got 0.3 before 0.4.
He can't do that. Who does he think he is?
Wait a minute. We got to talk to you. And then we get new Christians in our churches. And what do we say to them? Oh, you have children. Oh, we should get you involved in the children's department. Oh, you can sing. We have a great music department. Oh, my goodness. We never once say, the first thing we need to do is get you an evangelism class, because you have all your friends are not saved. And we'll help you understand how easy it is to share your faith with your friends. We never say that to them. We never talk about it. And they're the best candidates we have for growing the church, growing the gospel.
Barry, I used to work on a church staff, and oftentimes we would hire musicians, and sometimes those musicians were not people of faith.
Yeah, oh, too often.
How great.
Yeah.
What a great opportunity to bring
really.
People, you know, so you're going to pay them to play for your Christmas program or something. How wonderful it is to be able to bring them in
to this.
With God's people.
Yeah.
They're going to get paid, and they're also going to hear the word of
God. And how often do we pay them, we thank them, tell them how talented they are, and send them on their way,
yep,
and never think about their souls?
One time I was singing with an orchestra in Florida, and one of the songs that I sang was it was a concert, all of Broadway songs, and one of the songs was the song Bring Him Home from Les Miserables.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
As I set that song up, I never said anything about Jesus. I never said anything about God, but I just said, you know what? This is a story about grace, a musical about grace, and all of us are looking for grace in one way or the other. That's all I said. Following the concert, I got an email from a lady who said, what you said really struck me, that we're all looking for grace. And just by that, helped her initiate her faith walk, trying to
Sometimes
understand
it's ever
that.
So subtle.
Exactly.
We took you away from point three.
Well, actually, we covered three.
Did we?
Lack of knowledge, you know, that people think they don't have enough knowledge. They don't understand the severity of hell, and they really fear man rather than fearing God.
You know, God help us for that.
Right.
But that's so true. Pastors are doing it.
I know.
We're all doing it. I mean, preaching a message and bowing down to the government and being careful we don't offend edicts from governmental offices
they
and closing
our
churches.
They're being tolerant. They don't want to offend anybody.
Oh, yeah. Tolerance. That's the new religion.
But tolerance is not compassion.
No.
You know, it's a different thing.
And consensus.
If you really have compassion for people,
either.
You'll share the truth with them rather than tiptoe
if you
around.
If you don't share the truth, you're enforcing, you're affirming their wrong behavior.
Exactly.
So that's not
Barry,
loving on them.
Sharing your faith, I mean, explain this. It might cost me something. What does it cost to share your faith? What does it cost to pray for someone?
Let's see.
Time.
There must
time.
Be something.
That's it.
Exactly.
Cost time. But
time.
God gives it back to you.
Yes.
Do you notice how that works? Yeah. You don't have time, but you know you got to, so you do. And then all of a sudden, whatever you're going to works out just fine. Or the meeting was canceled or whatever you say. I was all worked up over that, and it was meaningless. And what can be more important than what I'm doing here anyway? When God puts somebody in your path, right?
Yeah.
It's God's timing.
You know, Barry, you pointed out in your book about, you know, people in life today are depressed. They don't have joy in their life.
Almost everybody.
Yet the key to joy is sharing the gospel, as you pointed out. You know, Paul pointed
out. The last thing they want to do, the one thing they don't want to do is share their faith. I don't want to do that. It's the one thing that opens the doors to the blessings of heaven.
Yeah.
Almost every promise comes back to having wholehearted faith. You get wholehearted faith by sharing your faith, because Romans 8:28 says, when you live for his purpose, to those who love me, and then he defines what that means, to those who live for my purpose, that's his purpose is to seek and save the lost. When we live to seek and save the lost, we live in his promise in Romans 8:28 that he'll make everything work together in our lives for good, even the bad stuff.
Yeah.
Even when I was losing my business, even when I lost my daughter, even when I was in the hospital dying, and I had a bunch more. Those are the ones I talked to about the most. But even in those times, God's working good. We don't see it, but we know he's working for good. And wouldn't you agree that those bad times are when you had your spiritual growth spurts? Every major growth spurt in my life has come through bad times.
Scripture is very clear. You want to know me? You want to know Jesus? It happens through the suffering.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to know Christ?
Yeah.
It happens through the suffering.
If we just were skating by every day, happy day, what is a happy day for us? In spite of the bad stuff. But if you just look at the world around you, there's a lot of bad stuff going on. That's why everybody's fretting. But you want to focus on that. I mean, you can fret and fret, or you can say,
sometimes
the worse it gets, the closer he is to coming.
Exactly. And sometimes when I share my faith with someone and I pray for them, and when I'm done praying, they're looking at me and I'll say, you know what that cost me?
Well, that's the point. Let's come back to that.
It cost me nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. It cost me a little bit. And so that's what we want people to understand. It costs them nothing. Just sharing of themselves.
Oftentimes, it's the same amount of time. It's just what did you do with your time with that person.
Exactly.
Most Christians do good things for people, but they never think of bringing God into the equation.
Mm-hmm.
And so they walk away, and the person really loves them, and society loves me, and I'm being applauded, I'm a really good person. But being good doesn't get us or anybody else to heaven. It just doesn't work that way.
Right. Yeah. But showing kindness to people and love, you know, if you meet somebody at the grocery store or whatever that you go to daily, and you show kindness to them, after a time, now they're open to receive the gospel.
Yeah. And it's attach the good that we do to the Lord in some way. If only the simple ones we talk about this,
then
God bless you. You do something so they know that love
is from
that
God.
Goodness is not just from you being a good person, but it comes from God. We give Him the glory.
Exactly.
We can take the glory, or He gets the glory.
Right.
In most cases, Christians are taking the glory and feeling really good about it and thinking they're on their way to heaven because they're such a good person, and that's false doctrine.
So, Barry, as a car guy, a car has reflectors on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are we reflecting? we're to be, our encouragement to you is to be a reflector.
Oh my goodness.
A reflector of God's
That's
glory.
That's pretty good. Could we do one more of these? I'm sorry, but could we do one more of these? I'm sensing that the best is yet to come, and I hate to lose you guys. So let's do one more, okay?
Okay.
Come back and see us for one more segment of this great conversation. I love you guys. It's really special. Come back.